Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 96 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Sonny Moberg from Moberg Smokers. If you're into Texas barbecue or barbecue in general, there's a chance you either know about Sonny Moberg and his smokers that are dotted across Texas at different barbecue joints, or you've eaten food that's been cooked out of one of his smokers. I've wanted to talk to him for a long time, and we've been going back and forth. He's extremely busy, and I'll let you listen to the interview and hear how far out his lead time is right now. It's pretty incredible. It's definitely a testament to his hard work and to its quality. This one's great. We get into his history, his background, the first thing that he welded, how he got into that, and then further along how he got into doing smokers and what propelled the barbecue business, making these smokers for barbecue joints, and a certain person in the barbecue business right now who just opened up his restaurant, who really helped him with the social media aspect and the marketing aspect, as well as his wife helped out a lot with that too, because she has that mind, and she's in the business of marketing and promoting. It's really, really interesting. Sonny is such a nice guy. Like, there's nice guys, and then there's Sonny. You can just tell he's just a great person, really open about everything, dry sense of humor. You're going to love this episode. If you're digging these, please subscribe. I don't want you to miss out on any of them and get a chance to listen to all the back episodes. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com where I have a master link to all of the podcasts. And I also have a YouTube channel with YouTube versions of these, as well as a bunch of barbecue joint visits, butcher shop visits, etc. That's at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. But on the website, as I said, you can see all the different the YouTube shows, as well as all the different podcasts. It's all in one place, so that way it makes it easy to link and see if you miss any of the back episodes. So it's kind of cool. But thanks so much. Enjoy. Good morning, Sonny. How you doing?
Good morning, Kevin. I'm good. How you doing?
Doing really good. What's a usual day for you? I always like to ask that. Like, if we weren't talking to me this morning, what would you be doing?
So seriously, okay, yeah. I wake up about 5:15, 5:20, and okay. Get the ball rolling for get my kids off to school.
Okay.
And I get my wife's already got the ball rolling because she gets up about 5 o'clock.
Wow.
And so, unlike my parents, we cook our kids nice breakfasts every morning.
Do you really?
Yes, we really do. So they got a good full belly, and then they go off to school. I drive them to school, and then I get back and then start welding.
Have you always gotten up early? Is that something that has been easy for you to do?
No, I'm not an early. I am an early bird now, but I was not an early. Me and Julie, my wife, we're not early birds before kids. But as a lot of people know, kids can change a lot.
Yeah. It completely changes almost everything. But actually, it's probably good because you do get after you drop them off, you get a chance to kind of get going on your day. And how long do you spend? Like, how long can you physically spend welding?
Physically, you know, if the weather's not too hot, especially with me getting older. When I was younger, I mean, I could weld, you know, 10-hour days, even in the heat.
Yeah.
Wasn't a big deal. But now, you know, we'll try to put 8 to 10 hours, you know, in a day. Mm-hmm. It's just me and my brother-in-law helps me weld.
Okay.
Guy helps me weld 2 to 3 weeks. Sometimes lately it's been 4 weeks out of the month.
Okay.
And then he lives in Louisiana, so he'll go home and he'll take a break, and then he'll come back. And I'm usually, when he's gone, I'm usually wrapping up the stuff that we welded. Either I'm painting it or mounting it on a trailer or.
Gotcha.
Tying up loose ends.
Do you think you could you do, I guess you could do it all yourself, but it would just take a lot longer, right?
It would take longer, yes, sir. So, I mean, I was doing it all by myself. Yeah. And then it was just actually a year coming up that guy was up for Christmas, and I told him how nutty it's gotten for me. And his contract for, he was a welding inspector.
Oh.
And his contract was coming back due, I think it was in March, and he was... His contract was up in Washington area. So he was going to go head back northwest. And he said, you know what? I'm kind of tired of the cold and kind of tired of the unions up there. Can I weld with you? And I was like, let's do it.
Oh, that's so nice. And that's perfect. Having someone super close to you too, to be able to trust that person to.
exactly. Because I mean, I ran a Craigslist ad, you know, for some welders, and I had a handful, and you know, ran interviews, and they'd come out, and you know, I've been welding for 10 years, and they couldn't weld, you know. So I'm like, okay, and you know, and it's nice, like you said, because you know, he's my brother-in-law, yeah. And he's actually trustworthy, and my shop is at my house, so if I need to go, you know, pick the kids up or do something, you know, he's down there. I trust him. He's welding. He's working. He's not sitting on the clock, you know, taking advantage of me. Yeah, not that all employees do that, but you know,
but they can. They definitely can, and it's something too. Like it's just nice to be able to go away and trust them. I want to know I'm curious. I want to know about welding because it's interesting. I'll probably jump around a little bit. I had talked to someone who was a welder, and they said that welding is something. If say you're you're graduating from high school, you want to go to college, but you want to know a trade, but you're not sure exactly what you want to do. He was like, I tell every single person that I talk to go into welding because it's a good career if you're smart about it. Is that something that you would like? Well, jump back to like how you got into welding, and I think it's a family based thing. But would you recommend welding for somebody?
I mean, for sure. You know, because college isn't for everyone. You know,
that's one thing.
And we need welders. I mean, welders do a lot in this world. For sure. I mean, you know, if there's young men and women out there in school, you know, that's kind of you know drawn to welding, drawn to you know working with their hands. And they don't really want to go to college. I mean, there's definitely a lot of good welding schools out there that, you know, you can go get your certification. And sometimes you don't even need to go to welding school, you know. You can kind of, especially nowadays with YouTube and all the social media and, you know, the internet, you can learn so much. I mean, gosh, my brother-in-law Guy said some of those welders up there are making $60 to $80 an hour all day long.
That's a lot more than you would make at a fast food location.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I mean, for sure, I would recommend that. Mm-hmm. For me, I when I was 15 or almost 15, I asked my dad for a welder, and I'm a December 28th baby, so I get the combination birthday and Christmas present,
which is good and bad probably.
No, it wasn't bad, you know, because, you know, most of the time I'd get maybe a little bit bigger present. It was okay. And, you know, I'm not that type of, even when I was a kid, you know, I was thankful for everything anyways. Yeah. It was all good. But my dad granted my wishes, or maybe Santa, right?
Hey, we don't want to blow it. Yeah, Santa did it.
Right. For my birthday when I was 15.
Okay.
And so I was self-taught. Back then, you know, there was obviously no internet. So I had to go read books and go to the library, and you know the welder came with a manual, but you know.
So what would be, first off, did you grow up in Texas?
I'm born and raised in Austin, Texas. Yes, sir.
What would come in that kind of welding kit? I'm just curious. As a kid, what would you get, like I don't even know what that's called. It's called a flap, or is that a
hood? Yeah, welder hood, welding helmet. No, it didn't come with that, or at least the one I got. I just bought a helmet and. The kit, I think, came with the welder and maybe five rods. So I started out with arc welding with where it's the rod, you know, and it has the chemical around the metal, which shields it's the gas shielding on it. So I learned to do that. And, you know, you're always learning. I mean, I'm still learning. But, I mean, I literally now, I mean, not to brag, but I can pretty much weld with my eyes closed. But I've been doing it for so long. I mean, I'm fixing to turn 49. Wow. And so I got it when I was 15. Now I haven't welded solid since then.
What was your first thing that you welded? Do you remember?
A go-kart. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's cool.
I welded up a go-kart and, I took it apart with a hammer and I was like, I don't think that was welded.
did you ride it?
No, it never got that far. And it was a really cool go-kart, but I did literally I broke most of the welds with a hammer. I was like, you know, I need to go back to the drawing board and learn more because I'm not welding. So, and then also the welder my dad got me was, you know, just the entry level, you know. So I ended up, probably when I was 18, bought a Lincoln welder. It was a bigger one.
Okay.
They call it a cracker box. And that machine can weld. And then I also learned, I was like, wow, you know, I was dealing with something that, you know, just didn't have the, you know, the high amperage where, you know, would physically melt the two metals together. Okay. Which is what you need to do when you're welding. So I learned a lot with the new machine, the bigger, stronger machine. And then I could weld up a go-kart. But instead of that, I welded up a smoker.
So you actually, at 18, you made a smoker?
Yes, sir. I made a smoker. It was out of an old water heater, and it was a horrible smoker just because it was paper thin. And the inside of this vessel was like this porcelain. I remember it like it's yesterday. It almost looked like that, you know, the old camping gear.
Is it porcelain? I was wondering what that.
Yeah. I think it's porcelain, but type of porcelain.
So it was lined with that.
Yeah, which would make sense. I mean, because if it wasn't stainless or aluminum, you know, it's going to rust. True. So and it was metal, so they had to line it with something.
True.
And as I was welding, that stuff was flaking off and just spitting inside. I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting. But it didn't cook worth a darn because it was just so thin. And I ended up turning into a little grill for a little bit, but uh-huh. The smoker part of it was non-existent.
So if that was around 87 then, right?
Math. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You're older than me. So I was trying to do the math.
I graduated 88. So yeah, 87, 88.
Okay.
Would have been the year I tackled that.
So no one was really, there were, because when you drive around Texas, you see a lot of like small little offsets, like off to the side or off to someone's house, like just to the side out. It's like the little tiny ones. So was that what the inspiration was, just so you can cook? Or some people were making larger ones, but not a whole lot, right?
Yeah, you know, some people were making larger ones, but, you know, they weren't all around. I mean, but you're right. You did see smokers, you know, in people's front yards, backyards, mm-hmm. all over the place, just because we smoke and barbecue a lot here.
You don't see that in California, that's what I'm saying. That really? Maybe out, maybe in, like, Inland Empire, or like other places, like, a little bit more rural, but.
Yeah. In fact, we just had a Santa photo shoot yesterday, and then in these two yards there was two smokers right there sitting in the front. I was like, hey,
classic Texas.
So my grandfather is Smokey Denmark, and that's a barbecue manufacturer, a sausage manufacturer here in Austin. Mm. He's since passed, and the business has been sold, but I've got barbecue literally in my blood, in my genes. So I think that's where the passion started, with family reunions. He was always, you know, smoking sausage, smoking briskets, always doing barbecue. And we had a lot of family reunions back then when we were kiddos. So I think that's where the passion started, you know, just seeing the process and watching him, you know, always tend to the fire. And I think that's where I fell in love with barbecue.
And is that, like, when you made that first one at 18, like, did you think, I'm going to scrap this, or I'll use it for a grill. But then did you make more smokers after that, or did you just work on welding, or did you go into college and do other projects?
Yeah, I got an associate's degree at electronics, and I was working at Custom Sounds, which is a car stereo place here in Austin.
Okay.
I worked there for a few years, and, you know, actually some of my friends that I worked with are still there, which is awesome.
Wow, that's awesome.
But I ended up going into, me and my brother started a trailer manufacturer.
Okay.
So that's where, and it's nice too, because everything tied together here now in my life, because I the trailers for the trailered rigs, I mean, very easily, no trailers in and out. So we weren't, you know, and I would build smokers here and smokers there. And then after, after 9/11 hit, trailers are so cutthroat and it's just so tight margins. We actually asked we had seven employees. We actually asked our head welder if we had an assembly line that we were running these units down, and we asked him, "Hey, you want to do barbecue smokers?" And he said no, you know, and I wouldn't be here in this position talking to you if he had said yes, because we'd have been in a different route, you know.
Oh, true.
We were going to do, you know, the smaller, you know, just the backyard units. So kind of go back to when I was younger, my neighbor was the owner and still the owner of a big propane company in Weberville. It's called Weberville Propane.
Oh. Cool.
So I'd buy units from him old decommissioned tanks. Mm-hmm. So that's where I started using the propane tanks, and that's kind of how that evolved. Because they're just, you know, you can buy a pipe or you can get a propane tank, and you know, so the ends are already capped, and you can, you know, kind of speeds the process up a little bit.
Were other people using propane tanks at the time for smokers?
For sure, yeah. I mean, farmers and, you know, welders have been using propane tanks, you know, for decades, you know, because they are good cooking vessels to start out with. And like I said, since the ends are already capped, it works out well.
What size was your first one with a propane tank?
Mainly back then I was doing 250s.
Okay.
And every now and then a 500, in fact, built a 500 for Weber built propane that they use, you know, at their parties and stuff.
Were you selling them or were you just kind of doing them for just to practice?
Nope, selling them. Okay. You know, back then, there again, you know, there was no internet, there's no, you know, social media, so you had to run a little ad, you know, and we had a American Statesman is our paper ad, so we'd run a paper ad or run a little Thrifty Nickel.
Like that, like we have the Penny Saver, you had the Thrifty Nickel.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, and were people asking, like, were you getting more and more people asking about you making them? Is that kind of what made you think this could be a viable business? Or what was the moment, what was the spark that thought, you know, this is something that'll work out?
You know, I mean, honestly, that didn't happen not 3 years ago. I mean, I've always known that's where my passion is. And I've always known, you know, I build one and someone sees it, man, I want one of those. And, you know, and it would kind of just sell off of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. But it was never enough to, you know, make a living doing it. You know, just couldn't sell enough. And I was doing, you know, Archie stuff because I got a CNC machine. Mm-hmm. So I was doing, you know, Archie stuff. And I had a lady in College Station that was, I was wholesaling cutouts to. And she kept me busy. But, you know, when a smoker would come in, you know, I was always gravitated to that, you know, so I always wanted to do a smoker. And, you know, I'd do, you know, smokers for my friends and do repairs on existing smokers. So, I mean, I knew where my passion was, but, you know, just wasn't, I didn't know how to make it a true, you know, business. And then, so my wife, Julie, opened up an Etsy store to sell, you know, some of my artsy stuff. And she said, you don't have to worry about the customers. I'll deal with that. I'll deal with the shipping. You just, I'll give you an order and just build them. I said, hey, that sounds good. So she just launched the Etsy store and we were driving up to Dallas. She had an event up in the Dallas area. So I was riding with her and I said, Julie, don't take offense to this. And she just launched it. I was like, I don't want the Etsy store. I want to build smokers. And she said, well, how do we sell more smokers? And then, I mean, it wasn't 2 seconds. I was like, I don't know. And she said, well, let's call Brett, you know, Brett's backyard barbecue that you just interviewed.
Okay.
He's a good friend of mine. And I built him smokers. So, and he's a great friend of mine now. And we're like, well, let's just go ask him. And so he told me, you know, I need to get on Instagram. And Instagram, you know, I had Facebook. I didn't want to get on Instagram. He's like, Instagram, you know, is different. You know, it's more business related. And it is, you know, people that are interested in what you're doing, they follow you. You know, they just, you know, they're interested. So that was big for us. And then so I was Moberg Metals. And he said, you need to put smokers or pits in your name somewhere. And I loved my logo. I didn't want to change. But he said, you know, and it obviously will help on your, you know, your search engines.
For sure.
Okay, so we ended up with Moberg Smokers.
Wow, that's I didn't realize that it was Brett that was the spark.
Brett, I mean, I owe tons to Brett. You know, he was always like, he tells me, oh, no, this is all you. And yeah, it's a lot me because that's when I'm, you know, I'm making the product. But a huge part of where I am today is because of him, for sure.
And that's interesting because I feel like that kind of ties into what I kind of like to ask at the end because of that's the barbecue family and we're all kind of trying to push each other up and trying to help each other out and just that right there, that's the epitome of your relationship with Brett that sparked, so to speak, the actual business.
Yeah, no pun intended. No. Yeah. I mean, for sure, the barbecue family is huge. So he started pushing me in the right direction of, you know, the tactical part. And then Michael Wyant out there at Flores Barbecue, he brought me his tank. And he said, hey, can you make a smoker out of this? And I said, yeah, we sure can. And he was already under the microscope for the top 50, you know, list mm-hmm. on the Texas Monthly. So as I'm working on his pit, you know, we're getting excited about the list, you know, and I finish his pit and he gets it up there and he calls me up and he said, Sonny, you know, they're Texas Monthly called me, you know, they're verifying stuff, you know, and I was like, oh man, that's awesome. And you know, but he and I were both like, you know, let's not jump to conclusions. You know, we'll see. And he came out, it was the day he came out to pick up his pit. We loaded up on the trailer and we were sitting there and it was quiet. It's always quiet out here, but it was extra quiet. And Michael, I remember, he said, is this the quiet before the storm? Like, I don't know. Cause we both just had a gut feeling like it's going to get really busy for me. And I said, well, I mean, I hope so. I want to sell more smokers, you know? And then Julie, being the planner she is, that's what she is. She's an event planner. So she plans and she's very organized.
And that's helpful.
Very, very. She said, you know, when the list comes out, we'll have the top 50 guys and gals information all right there in front of us. So let's put up a packet together and we'll send out information packets to these companies. And so they'll have our information, you know, and they'll know about us. Huh. And we didn't send out one piece of paper.
Really?
They magically just started calling me, and it was a crazy feeling, you know, when Ronnie Killen at Killen's Barbecue, you know, reaches out to you on email and then your phone rings and hello, and it's Ronnie. I mean,
it's a big deal.
It's just been an amazing ride for us for sure, because it snowballed so fast. I mean, you know, Scott Moore and the gang down there at Taos Chocolate Craftery called us, and it just, you know, it was one thing after another. You know, all these bigger names were coming to us, and then so the other big names, you know, saw them coming, and it just, you know, Corkscrew, Heim, Terry Blacks, then they just all started calling me, you know, and it was, you know, a good friend of mine that we used to build trailers for, he said, you know, if you build a good product at a great price, they'll beat your door down, and that's where I am today.
Sure enough, yeah, that's exactly great advice. So at that moment, did you all of a sudden start, because I had heard it that at the Texas Monthly Festival, that's when things like super exploded and your lead time went up pretty far. Is that, or was it at that moment when you started to, like, the month or two after that?
Yeah, so last year, and it was crazy last year being down there. I mean, I was like a celebrity, which is weird. But people were waiting in line to talk to me, and I just was blown away. Last year, you know, so the ball was already starting to chug along. You know, people were, you know, joking around. They're like, in a few years, you know, this won't be Texas Monthly. It'll be a Moberg Smokers Fest down here because so many people was already using our smokers. But for sure, a year ago, our list was, you know, growing, to approaching a year at that time. And that's where I'm really thankful that Julie is so organized, because I'm like, oh yeah, we'll have in a couple months. And I mean, I didn't realize, you know, she was, you know, slotting, you know, breaks and vacations and stuff, which we ended up chewing up anyway on overbooking and stuff like that, just because it got so nutty so fast.
Were you making 500s and thousands?
Yeah. So I was doing, I had never done 1,000 until these restaurant guys were approaching me, which, you know, 500 and 1,000, there's not a whole lot different to it. But there was a little bit of a learning curve at the beginning on 1,000.
Yeah,
the 500s were the biggest I was building at the time.
What was your first 1,000? Do you remember which restaurant it was for?
I believe it was for Scott there at Taos. Mm-hmm. And then Terry Blacks reached out to us. It was just, I mean, I was blown away. Terry Blacks was our first DM on Instagram, and he's like, "Hey, we're interested in some smokers. We see what you're building, and you know, it's exactly what we want." I went down and met Mike and Mark down there, super nice guys, and I was just blown away. I was like, "Man, these such big names, you know, reaching out to me, you know," and after Michael had made the list up there at Flores, I was like, man, if I could just get one or two more, you know, I don't want to be greedy. One more would be awesome. And now, I mean, I've got so many guys on the list like Brett and John Brothington and Rogels, and just these names that I'm getting and still coming in are just, I'm beyond blessed, and I know it, and I don't take anything for granted, and I'm very thankful for it, for sure.
And it seems that way, and it seems like it's still kind of probably surprising to you that it's also that the excitement that people have and the fact that you're a celebrity within our world or within, like, because people love what you do and they love the passion that you have, and they see your product and they eat the food from these smokers, and so it's created like a little bit of a mystique about you.
It has, you know, and I've debated, you know, do I get bigger? Do I hire, you know, 7 employees again and shrink it down to 4 months? And I'm still on the fence about that. I don't really want employees because I do enjoy, you know, well, if I need to take off tomorrow, I can just take off, you know. I mean, guy I know could run the show. And we definitely have the business. I mean, we cut the backyards out just because the tariff increases and stuff. And also because of the demand for the bigger ones, but our pipe prices doubled, you know, so at that point we didn't want to go up on that price anymore. We just wanted to have our target price set. So we cut those out. But I mean, I just posted a picture the other day that had a couple in the foreground, and people just blew my Instagram up, messaged me and emailed me. Julie was mad at me. She's like, do not post that picture.
That's so funny. Oh, crazy.
I was going to say, I could probably have 2 employees just welding those backyards up all day long.
It's so interesting to me. It's such an unusual business because it's not something that a lot of people from California where I live would go into the business of making smokers. There's some companies, some smaller companies that are jumping into it, and they're doing a pretty good job. Your lead time at the beginning was probably, what, 2 months, 3 months? Now, like if someone is watching this right now and they want to order from you, would it be like mid next year?
19 is concrete solid booked.
So 2019 is gone.
19's gone, unfortunately. In fact, I got in trouble trying to, you know, pull things forward so we can make someone faster. And Joel's like, we can't, it's full. It's full. So right now we're technically probably March, you know, spring of 2020.
How do you feel about that?
It's amazing. I mean, back when me and my brother were doing trailers, if we had a 6-week backlog, that was good job security for us, you know? And when we got to when we got to 6 months, I was like, wow, this is incredible. And then we hit a year, and I was like, this is crazy. And I mean, it's still growing. I mean, we lose way more than we sell now. But you know, I can't build them all. I don't expect to build them all. Yeah. It'd be a little weird if there was every barbecue joint had a Moberg anyways.
It would definitely would be weird. Today's November, what's 18th?
See. Yeah, 19th.
So today's November 19th. Who are you? Who are you making a smoker for right now?
A gentleman out of San Marcos, Texas.
Okay.
It's an oddball size. It's a 320, but very similar to a 250, just a little bit longer. Working on that one. Just finished up Rossler's Blue Cord yesterday that I posted on Instagram.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Grunt. And then let's see. What's coming up next?
Or what was most recently? What were a few of the most recent ones? I know the Switch, but the Switch was like, what, 6 months ago? It seems like it was just
a while back. Yeah. I've got some 3 1,000 gallons sitting at the shop that are going to go to Heim Barbecue for their second location.
Oh, yeah.
Those are fixing to ship out first week of December. And we just shipped off the one to Kuwait probably about 4 weeks ago.
I had heard someone talking about that. Was that for a barbecue restaurant there or for someone's house?
No, it's for a barbecue restaurant. I believe his Instagram's Oak and Smoke.
Okay.
And I think he ships Post Oak over there as well.
Wow.
So, yeah, he saw us on Instagram. Thanks, Brett. And he just reached out to us. And, you know, at first I thought this guy was, you know, nuts. And now I don't think he's nuts. And I don't think anyone's nuts because we're getting, since social media obviously is worldwide. Mm-hmm. I mean, Japan, New Zealand, Australia, you know, all, I mean, just around the world, that people are just reaching out to us. It's it's amazing.
How do you deal with shipping to overseas? Is that something, is that something that they assist you with the shipping portion? Because that's, it's got to be, the logistics are interesting.
The logistics, the shipping can be a can of worms. and it was a learning experience for us because we never shipped anything.
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
Julie has shipped stuff for her company, you know, internationally, so she kind of knew a little bit, but I mean, not a whole container mm-hmm. for one smoker. So we leave that up to them now. We have shipping contacts that we just pass on.
We're not people that know how to do that stuff. That's there.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we've got some great shipping companies now that we can pass their information on to them, and it works out better that way because they're talking directly to the customer.
Definitely.
Versus, you know, through us and then going back and forth answering questions.
Yeah, and that also slows you up for other things, and it's and slows the process up for them getting what they want.
Mm-hmm.
What makes, without giving away a ton of trade secrets, what makes a Moberg smoker different, or what makes it stand out?
Yeah, I can't tell you that. It's all secrets. I'm teasing. Really, I mean, to be a good smoker, you just got to have a good draw. I mean, you want good, clean smoke throughout your cook. And I think that's what, you know, these craft barbecue pitmasters have learned. You know, the cleaner you keep that fire burning, the better your final product's going to be. And you taste it, you know, like it's different, totally different from when my grandfather was smoking brisket.
Oh yeah,
literally, as you know, the old saying, you know, if you're looking, you ain't cooking. Mm-hmm. And they went look, you know, they would shut that lid and, you know, just make sure the fire and temperature, you know, is about the right temperature. But it's so different now, you know, this spritzing, you know, the wrapping, mm-hmm. the, you know, knowing that your heat, you know, your heat control is all through your, you know, your fire management. You know, a lot of people question, you know, because I don't have air vents on my door. My back doors are double walled, insulated, mm-hmm. which I could still do a vent in there. It just did a lot of work, but it needed the air vent because people always wanted to shut the door and control the fire by the air vent. But you don't really control your temperature by your air intake. That's not how you do it, because then you're choking out the fire. Now you're getting dirty smoke. Your temperature is completely controlled by your fire management. Mm-hmm. So you know, once you get your coal bed and your machine's up to temperature, a big part of my units is the insulated firebox. So they burn hot, they burn clean, and they're very efficient. So that helps. That helps, in my opinion. That helps.
And that also saves money for the pit boss, right? Because for the restaurant, because you don't have to buy as much wood, or you go through as much wood. Is that true?
For sure, yeah. Terry Black's Michael was talking to me. Michael Black, and we were talking on the phone. I said, you know, because he was saying they put in a stick every 10 to 15 minutes, and I was like, oh man, I said I can save you tons of money in wood consumption. I said, because you'll, on a 1,000 gallon, you can squeeze out about 30 minutes, you know, depending on conditions and, you know, how green your wood is, you know, sometimes even 45 minutes. Yeah. And he said, there's no way. And I said, yeah, I said, for sure. You know, if you're doing 15 minutes, you know, I'll save you 25% on wood.
That's huge.
That's huge. And he was blown away. And he, you know, he was, you know, he's like, there's no way. And I said, all right, I guarantee you 10%. He's like, well, 10%, you know, in a year's time, this thing will pay for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it will. And they have many on order. So they're slowly replacing the ones that they have.
They have 5,000 gallons, right? They have more.
5,000s, I believe. And
yeah, 5,000s. Mm-hmm. How many are Mobergs right now?
Just one right now. Okay. Well, they picked up another one, kind of their road pit, but I'm not sure what they're going to do with that one. But they've got, I think, 5 or 6 on order that we, you know, build. We're going to build here and there.
It's restaurants like that are pushing you out to 2012. Well,
I mean, my return business, even from just the Weekend Warrior guys, but really from the restaurants. I mean, you know, Heim, you know, ordered more. Tejas has more on order. I saw Will Buckman down at the festival. He said he's ready to reorder. But, you know, this Style Switch in Austin reordered. I mean, I've got these huge names that, you know, were backing me
massive
at the beginning. But now, you know, they have, you know, reordered. I mean, so that speaks volumes.
And I'm sure Brett will be ordering an additional one eventually too.
Brett has been, you know, a reorder, been a repeat customer. And I think he's, you know, his fit room is small, but I got a feeling, he may not expand that pit room. He may, you know, jump into a brick and mortar.
A brick and mortar, and then that way you'll be, yeah. He'll have 4,000 gallons before you know it.
I guarantee you he is, you know, so my passion is welding and making smokers, you know, and I can cook a pretty good brisket. But these pit masters, these craft barbecue men and women, the pit masters have just taken it to a whole new level. And Brett is definitely one of them. He will be on that list without a doubt.
Oh, without, I know, I agree. And with, especially with his passion alone will get him there. I know that's, and then I've heard only great things about his food and his location too. I was talking about that yesterday with Abe Delgado. I was talking about his location is just ideal.
Oh, his location is awesome. I mean, it's right there.
17 minutes from Snow.
Yeah. Yeah, from Snow's, and Rockdale's pretty big itself, mm-hmm. and the traffic, when we delivered, me and Guy delivered that little cabinet smoker we built recently for him, I mean, it took us 3 minutes where we could turn back into his property because the traffic was so abundant. I was like, golly. Yeah,
that's great.
And people, you know, we were there, and people are already stopping by, you know, asking if he's open yet, you know, you got barbecue for sale. And I was like, man, that's crazy, Brett. And he's like, dude, this is happening all day long.
Yeah, and it's not far from Louis Miller too. It's not far. Rockdale's not that far from Taylor. So it's essentially he's in the little sweet spot, a perfect place.
Yeah, he is in a sweet spot. And now, you know, with the barbecue crawl and people wanting to do, you know, let's go here and you know, the list, you know, and the passport deal, which takes a month, you know, just really knocked out of.
They killed that with. That was so smart.
I mean, so smart. Yeah, I mean, Rockdale, you know, back then before barbecue, I'm not driving out there to eat barbecue. That's too far. But now it's like, let's go. Let's go hop in the truck and we'll get our buddies and we'll drive out there. So, yeah, he's fine.
I forgot to ask, where are you located?
I'm in Dripping Springs.
Dripping Springs, okay.
Which is just southwest of Austin.
So you're not too far from the Switch. And then also the Salt Lick is not too far away from you either, is it?
No, I'm closer to the Salt Lick than the Switch. Okay. Great barbecue out here, especially since the Switch moved out here. And then another gentleman that has our smoker, Creekside, down, he's in Wimberley. Okay. So not too far from here either. So, yeah, barbecue is spreading like wildfire out here.
That's crazy. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to you because I wanted to speak to you with you in person, and we've talked online. But I'm so fascinated about what you do, and I would love to visit you when I do come to Texas. But I think that it's interesting that I didn't realize that you were out to 2020, but still 2020 will be here before you know it. And so people, if they're interested, is it the best way to contact you through DM or through your website, your email, or what?
Our website is probably the best because Julie will deal with it then, not me.
Okay. Yeah, DM will be you.
Yeah, honestly, she handles most of my electronic. But she handles all of my email. So the email would, you know, is probably the best way. You know, we have a fast response on email, DM. You can DM or you can call me on the phone. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, I mean, that's one of our, I think, benefits to contacting us. We have a quick response time, even though we're out to 2020. We'll talk to you fast and we'll contact you fast.
Well, 2019 is almost here. So it's not like if people, and it's important if people are planning it, if you're thinking about opening your barbecue spot early next year, that's obviously not an option. But if you want to get a second smoker,
that's right. Yeah, we're definitely, like I said, we're losing more than we're selling now, and that's fine. But the people we are selling for is people that aren't in a hurry, or people that are expanding or starting a new restaurant. They're like, oh well, we're breaking ground, you know, early 2020. That's great. So
yeah,
we're selling to those people now.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving and a great. Are you doing a partial week this week?
Yeah, I think I'll take a half day Wednesday, mm-hmm. and then off Thursday off, and I'm on the fence about Friday, and I think I'll spend it with the family.
That's great. No, you should. You definitely should. Are there any other places that we might have forgotten that we haven't talked about that you've made smokers for?
We got Panther City up in the Fort Worth area.
I've only heard good things about them.
I haven't tried their barbecue yet, but I'm pretty good at judging barbecue by pictures. I know that sounds weird, but and they sell out, and all I've heard is great things about them. And they've got 1,000 on order, to help out their 500.
Wow.
So they're going places as well.
That's cool. Yeah. No, I'll check that. And I, like I said earlier, I'm going to make a list. I'll put that in the comment section of the YouTube and also the podcast, but I'll do a companion blog post. They'll have a list of the people can, it'll be fun. Maybe it'll be like a barbecue trail that people go out and do the Moberg trail.
Well, I mean, people are starting that. That's the craziest thing. And this year at the festival, it wasn't, since we cut the backyards out, and I feel bad because I love the Weekend Warrior guys because it's fun to barbecue. You know, and it brings family together, brings friends together. But this year I didn't have too many, you know, just Joe Blows come up to me and talk, you know, because I'm not selling anything to them right now. But I had tons of restaurant people, you know, new and old, coming to me, and which is really nice, you know, because, you know, they're already established, yeah, and stuff like that. So,
and it's, they've all become friends. So when you go to the festival now, it's like you're just like a reunion almost.
Oh man, like you said, the barbecue family is so incredibly nice, and they do, like you said, as you said, they just want to lift you up and help you out, make things better. It's incredible. It's amazing time. I talked at Brett's opening. I talked to Scott Moore pretty long time, and we were and some of the professors at A&M. In fact, I'm speaking at A&M's brisket camp in January.
Oh, that's so great.
In front of a lot of people.
you'll do well.
He's like, you know, and I agree that, you know, we're at the top of the barbecue, you know, level, but, you know, he said, you know, it's gonna expand, like the top is going to expand because everyone's, you know, doing different twists on the barbecue.
Sure.
So, you know, he said, I don't think the barbecue is going to taste much better, but the way people are experimenting and doing the different, you know, collaborations and stuff like that.
Yeah. And bringing in their heritage and like, and mixing it with blending. That's what I think. And perhaps there is someone like that will make in a couple of years, something that we've never had before that just like within, like they'll figure out something with brisket. But I feel like that's kind of, yeah, like plateaued of there's a lot of people can make exceptional barbecue. It's just kind of how they do it now.
Yeah.
And they have some, and they have like a good smoking vessel too. That doesn't hurt to admit to, once you figure it out, you know, you still have to understand what you're doing.
Yeah, you still have to understand what you're doing, and you know, fire management is key, but knowing what you're smoking is more key. You know, they call them pit masters, but I think it's more, you know, the product they have on it master.
For sure.
If you ask me, but they'll tell me different. And I agree. I work with tools. And the better the tool you have,
true,
the easier and better it's going to be. Yesterday, after Stephen picked his pit up, we went up to Switch with the whole slew of people came out here. In fact, I had people coming out here to surprise him, which was cool.
That's really cool.
We all went up to the Switch and had brunch yesterday morning, and Lance was up there, and he's a pit master at the Style Switch in Austin. So he was out here eating, and talked to him for a good while and asked him how Poncho and Lefty, you're talking about names, that they named that double thousand Poncho and Lefty. I asked him how it's doing. He said, it's incredible. And Lance is a hell of a pit master, you know, so I take his word.
Yeah, he had worked at Louis Miller too. Yeah. Way back in the day with Bob.
He, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And he said, not just the real estate, you know, because these 2000s, obviously there's a lot of real estate on these units. He said he has shaved off 3 working hours of his shift because of my units.
Oh, how great is that?
Yeah, I mean, and so his wife was there, and he said, Sonny, this is huge. He said, this has changed our life. He said, because Lance is not as stressed out. He comes home happier, and he doesn't have to work quite as hard when he's there. And I'm like, man.
Wow. That right there. And that's actually, if someone's listening to this all the way through, you're going to be booked through 2022 now.
I mean, it's knowing.
That says a lot, and I've heard in talking to people about I didn't hear the portion. I'd heard more about this, just being able to control temperature really, really. I didn't realize that it would shave off hours of. That's phenomenal. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, like on Scott, he texted me early on, and I think he shaved 30 minutes off of his brisket cooking. He's like, which is, you know, that's money for them.
Mm-hmm.
The second they can pull that off and shift something else on it,
for sure,
you know. It's like having an extra unit, you know.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And imagine having a couple of them. Then you just it just incrementally. Yeah, that's crazy.
Exactly. For sure.
Exponentially, not incrementally.
Yeah.
Well, it's early in the morning. I could give it that. Not too early. It's almost. But oh, that's awesome. That little portion right there. That was great. I really appreciate that because it's insightful to people. A lot of people might not know those little tidbits, and that's a great thing to know about your smokers. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I've taken an hour of your time, and I'm blessed. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, have a great week.
All right, Kevin. You too. Have a good one.